Don't miss a second of the action. Subscribe now to the OTB AM podcast to get it every weekday morning in your podcast feed from 10 a.m.
OTB AM.
With Gillette, proud supporters of Movember. Gentlemen, let's move.
Kieran Donaghy, good morning to you.
Morning, Ger, how are you?
Tipperary, what the hell happened? How amazing was that?
Yeah, look, it was just an amazing day of sport, man. 85 years of pain. And they're a proud footballing county. I know hurling they're known for, but we do a lot of work up there building pitches for clubs in Tipperary, and I can tell you they're big into the football as well. Certain areas would be massive into football. And look, I was delighted for them. I think the Grange Mackler man, Michael Hogan, would have been looking down proud yesterday of his boys in his jersey. Because what they did yesterday was amazing. Do you know what they did? They played outstandingly well to a man. And they took the game to Cork. They had all the edge that Cork had against Kerry 2 weeks ago. Tip had it yesterday. Every 50-50 battle, every diving break, it seemed to be Tipperary coming out of it with the ball. And then they had more class up front than Cork, which, you know, I fancied during the week that they had. They had the two best inside forwards on the pitch. In Sweeney and Quinlivan. Now, I know Quinlivan was more out of pitch, but in a dream world scenario, they'd probably like to play the two of them inside, which we may see against Mayo, but I think Quinlivan was outstanding. I think they had 9 points between them, Ger, and that's an incredible return from your inside guys. And, you know, just heroes all over the pitch, really, and how they played, how they worked, how they tracked for each other. They were so worth the win yesterday. It was amazing. And for the day that was in it, 100 years ago since Bloody Sunday, you know, I'm absolutely delighted for that bunch of players that they were able to make history yesterday. And it is history. And it's, you know, COVID has taken a lot of things away from us. And I suppose it took away the reaction that we would have seen possibly in the crowd yesterday with Tip fans. I don't think the stewards and Parky Queeve would have been able to hold them back yesterday if they were there. But look, they were around every living room. From Tipperary, from Ross Gray down to Golden. So look, it was a huge win for them, and they will relish it and enjoy it. And now they have to focus and dial in for 2 weeks' time against Mayo, because they'll fancy themselves with the confidence of that to go give Mayo a rattle in the All-Ireland semi-final.
Yeah, 100%. Like, the benefits of COVID from their perspective, this tournament happening when it's happening. We had Michael Quinlivan in studio. It must have been early in the year. He was talking about going travelling and maybe not playing this year. And here he is starring. They have their Aussie Rules star back playing because he's in the off season, and actually they're happy enough for him to play a bit and to stay fit. So they've actually benefited massively from the fact that this is a short window that's happening here. And fair play to them. That's exactly how things should be. You know, you play the game and the hand that's dealt you. You deal with that, and all of a sudden, you know, like, it wasn't in any way a fluke.
No, it wasn't. If you start, Evan Comfort and goals, Gerard was outstanding. You go to your full-back, Jimmy Feehan, who, I played against him in a few Munster finals, he was wing-back and he was aggressive in your face, dynamic attacking player. He's gone back into number three and made his own, ably assisted by his two cornerbacks. They were excellent as well yesterday. You go across the half-back line with Bill Maher at five and Kevin Fahey at six. He was outstanding as well. You have Robbie Kiley, who's kind of always done it on big days and always brought the fight. You had Liam Casey, who with his moustache looked like a fella from the 1920s yesterday with his Movember effort, but he was absolutely a Trojan workhorse, competed under every ball, kicked two fine scores, one off his right, one off his left. Caught a great mark from an absolute stinger of a pass from Quinlivan in the outside of the right boot chair. You know, Stephen O'Brien, you know, next to him was the same. And you're right, the Colin O'Riordan factor was probably when I saw Powter out and I heard O'Riordan was named, you know, I went from fancy and Tip to, you know, being pretty confident that Tip were going to do this, because, you know, you're adding back in a guy like O'Riordan, just power, leadership, pace. Really, I suppose, relishing the opportunity he had to put back on the Tip jersey again, probably something that he thought may have gone away from him. And huge credit has to go to Davey Power and his management team for making that work, whoever made the approach to the Swans. It was a masterstroke because, you know, you take him out of it yesterday. You take those four clean catches in the second half out of it yesterday. You take away his distribution, his powerful running, his leadership back there, organizing defensively, coming out with the ball. You take all that away from Tip yesterday and that game is a lot tighter. And I know he was probably, he spoke unbelievably well after it and he was probably taking a bit of the heat. You know, I'm trying to put it back on the players. Like, he was almost embarrassed that he was the one being interviewed. But for me, he was my man of the match yesterday, Ger, and you know, he had every right to be interviewed, and he spoke so well. And Damien Lawler, who's a proud Tip man, who I know has done great work with them Tipperary boys over the years, underage. He had me above in Killadangan one day with a young Tipperary tall inside forward that he wanted me to work with. He got the best out of those interviews yesterday. But O'Riordan was fantastic, and all credit has to go to the Tipperary management and county board for having that vision and looking at such a big picture that, look, this is one crack at this thing. You know, it's a strange year. Let's throw the rule book out. Let's try and get everybody back. And, you know, you even look at the fact that these boys are gone now. You know, they're in an All-Ireland semi-final. Who's to say a few of these hurlers won't be called in? The hurlers are obviously out. They'll be licking their wounds. Some great footballers in that hurling squad. You look at the likes of John McGrath with Lochmore Castellini and them. They were so unlucky to lose that county final by a point. You know, who's to say that they might even call in? Just to bolster up that squad even more. Delighted for the few older fellas as well, Jared, Brian Fox and Philip Austin. You know, Fox made his debut in 2007 and Austin in 2006 in that Munster semi-final where I started my first championship game. And, you know, he soldiered an awful long way, and he was always a complete danger. Anytime we were playing Tipperary, you know, he got our utmost respect. He got our best marker. He was a speed merchant. And yesterday he showed that bit of class and awareness and will to win by snatching that ball and tipping it over with his left. So all the credit pours down on top of Tipperary yesterday, and Cork really will be licking their wounds after this one.
Let's hear a bit from Conor Sweeney here.
Conor, first of all, congratulations. Munster champions, how does it feel?
It feels great, yeah. Absolutely delighted, over the moon now, to be honest. Yeah, just great to get over the line. It's a small bit of pressure off, and thrilled with how we performed as well. The performance was the bonus, and the result is all that matters, and thankfully we got the job done.
So many players are involved in Tipperary football down there for a good few years, so it's nice to get a day like this to reward yourself.
It is, yeah. It's great for everyone. Like I was just saying there, the amount of people that aren't here today is kind of, it's weird, it's disappointing for them, but look, we still had a job to do, and I've no doubt they're all proud of us at home. But look, we'll meet up with them over the coming weeks individually and whatever we have to do, and it's not going to take away from our enjoyment or, you know, the occasion. So yeah.
Is it extra special on a day like today as well?
Yeah, I think it is. I think as a player, we kind of didn't focus too much on our pre-game because we had a job to do. It's only now we can reflect and kind of enjoy the whole history behind the centenary year and things like that. So yeah.
And wearing the jersey as well today, you know, some people were afraid it might take over the performance.
Yeah, no, we made sure that it wouldn't. We had that well discussed. We'd wore the jersey for the last week and a half at home and training, so, you know, we weren't going to be put off by it or anything like that. So yeah, like, look, it's important as a player. Like, we had a job to do today, and football, the match was first and foremost, and once we got that done, now we can only sit back and enjoy the whole experience.
Keep the jerseys for the semi-finals, I say, no?
I was just about to come on and say it. Absolutely keep them. First of all, they're fantastic. Second of all, you know, it's a beautiful tribute to Michael Hogan, even him on the sleeve yesterday when Conor Sweeney was talking, Ger. You know, it was iconic in a way. And to lift that Munster Cup with that jersey on was huge. And for that bunch of players, was massive. And like, Cork were just, the fight that Cork brought to Kerry wasn't there yesterday. I think Luke Connolly obviously going off, look, was a huge factor. They needed Brian Hurley to be outstanding when Luke Connolly came on. He got a lovely point in the second half, but just didn't bring enough. They didn't find him enough. Their use of the sweeper yesterday was way off, Ger. You know, against Kerry, it was fine. The sweeper kind of sat back in the hole, and on a wet, bad night in Cork, you know, it led Kerry into forcing into a few mistakes. But yesterday, on numerous times, the sweeper was sitting back. Tipperary broke inside the 45 with the likes of Quinlivan, and Kylie and these attackers, and the sweeper was just staying in the D. And I think once you break inside the 45 with momentum, your sweeper has to go from the D straight to attack the ball.
Yeah.
He has to be a ball hunter at that stage. You can't just sit there and kind of, you don't, your full back line doesn't need you at that stage. They need you when the ball's further out the pitch. That's why you're in the D, to cut out angles, to take away lines of vision for passers. But once a team breaks inside the 45, you don't need a sweeper then. You got to push at the ball. And Cork did that very poorly yesterday. But it shouldn't really be about Cork yesterday. It was about those mighty men from Tipperary and the one returning Swan from Sydney that made that such a special day. From there's an old saying about us, be like a swan, stay calm on the outside and paddle like hell underneath. And Colin O'Riordan certainly paddled like hell underneath yesterday. He was the workhorse. He was the engine of that team, ably assisted by Stephen O'Brien and Liam Casey in the middle of the field.
But, a sensational story.
Huge day for Tipperary, yeah.
Absolutely. Story. Also a big day for Cavan. I want to play some Pádraig Faulkner here to kick off the conversation about Cavan. Have a look, listen to this.
Do you know, the league we didn't go too well. All I care about is the belief of the 40 lads that's on our panel. And the belief after that, I couldn't care less whether Cavan people believe we want to do it or not. People outside, I think this Cavan, or the Cavan people this year with this team, believe we were going to win today. People outside the county, we couldn't care what they think. Whether they want to leave us the underdog, that's all right. We proved them wrong today.
Well, in saying that now, being the underdogs here today, it must have worked out for you.
Of course. You know, it's nice going in with nothing. We went in with nothing to lose. Do you know, Donegal, 9 finals in 10 years. Do you know, Cavan, 2 finals in 2 years, you know. It's, we came with nothing to lose today and we just played out of our skins.
Joy, just sheer joy coming off them.
Yeah, sheer joy, man. That's the beauty of sport. I'm sure if you'd have interviewed the Donegal lads, you'd get the other side of the story, Ger, but it's... Look, I suppose when you were after watching the Tipperary game and I put up a tweet that I saw some fella say about, oh, you know, if Cavan win, you'd have the same 4 provincial finals that you had in 1920. Now, the odds in that at the start of the year, you know, look, you'd probably call Mayo and Dublin, yes, but there's no one in their right mind would have called Tipperary and Cavan. So it's funny how sport works and how fate works. It's a mad stat, but it kind of looked like even 15-20 minutes to go in the Cavan game, I was going, this is going to go for it. Like, you know, they started really well, like Tipperary. In these games, Ger, I made the point last week that the first thing you have to bring is edge and warfare. You have to bring that to the table. And if you have that with you, then you're just hoping guys play well and your game plan works. But if you don't bring the edge and you don't bring that warfare to it, well, then your game plan and hoping guys play well is less likely to happen, because what edge and warfare gives is it brings energy. I complained about that, you know, that Kerry didn't have enough of it, and there was stages where we could have got more out of guys on that side of things in that last to Cork that wasn't there. But you saw Cavan yesterday, they brought it. It started with the two boys in the middle of the field, James Smith. James Smith was out there as well. Thomas Galligan, look, you know, I was above at the Monaghan game. He came on, his last catch against Monaghan set up Raymond Galligan's kick to win a game coming from 6 down with 9 minutes to go. His catch yesterday, which was an absolutely unbelievable catch, set up the play for Gerard McKernan to put it in on top of it. The big save by Raymond Galligan from Jamie Brennan was a huge changing factor in the game. Cavan up a point, Brennan goes through. You know, Galligan, it's a great save. Now, you know, you will say that looking back at it from the slow motion replays, Galligan can only do what he can do. He can only stop it. But, you know, Brennan, you were hoping he'd go left or right and keep it on the deck. You know, good height for the keeper, right down his throat. Galligan has been amazing all year. And his save was huge. Oisin Kernan's point, they made the big plays too when the game was on the line, Ger. Oisin Kernan's point from out in the left wing was massive. That Thomas Galligan catch that I talked about was epic at a time when it was needed, when you're up a point and there's, you know, you're just crossing the 70 minutes and the fourth official, which players always see, would have put up 4. So Thomas Galligan has gone out into that kick out knowing, you know, I win this kick out, I'm going a long way to helping my county win their first Ulster title since 97, and when they went on to lose to Kerry in that semi-final. Gerard McKernan was a man mountain in the middle who played that ball in, and then obviously Madden and O'Reilly gambled positively on McKernan. Now, when McKernan was kicking it, right, when Gerard McKernan was kicking it, I was screaming at the television, kind of going, do not lamp this ball in around the house. Like, you're a point up. There's 4 minutes to go. Do not give Donegal the ball back on a break and let them come up and kick an equaliser. They'll have all the momentum going in. So there's probably the coach and me was looking at it like a dreadful play, to be quite honest with you, when McKernan, because he was kind of standing around. It was like he was looking and he said, nah, to hell with this. I'm going to lamp it in. But it's something that they did a lot of yesterday. They put ball in and fellas knew it was happening and they were gambling off it. And I think when you look at the ball that McKernan put in around the house, you have Martin O'Reilly, who's, you know, just an amazing player and always delivers for Cavan. He was bombing in and you had the substitute Madden was bombing in too, positive and going for the game. And like, to be honest, Cavan should have won by a lot more. You look at Martin O'Reilly's chance and I will give him all the praise in the world because he is such a good player for this Cavan team. But on his goal chance, I know what was going through his head. He probably said, look, I'm the best guy in the best position to have a go here. It's on my left leg. But coming in from the angle he was coming in from, which are how tight the angle was. And you saw when the replay screen opened up. Now, maybe he mightn't have that level of vision, but he is a fantastic passer off his feet. But there was a simple hand pass back door to I don't know, was it McLaughlin coming in? It would have been a kind of a tap into the net. But he went for it. And missed it. But Cavan had courage all day. They had courage with that ball. They had courage with that goal chance. You even looked at James Smith in the middle of the field. He raced through on goal after beautiful play by Kieran Brady with a dummy solo on the left, came back in, pinged a lovely ball on his right. They went for things. They were offensive-minded. They took risks. They played the game the way it should be played. Dink ball in. James Smith goes through and misses it. A minute later, he comes out and wins a massive break. Comes down. He's running down a dark alley. Two Donegal players. He puts the ball under the arm jar, bursts past him, shimmies back onto the right and kicks an absolute raker. I mean, this is 40 seconds after missing what could have been the chance that would have given Cavan glory. And you know, that's going on in the guy's head. Not a bother on him. Mickey Graham has done such a great job with that team to get him into that position where they are.
The balls.
You know, absolute
balls. I want to read you this.
They were resilient all day, Jar. They showed huge resilience and they've shown resilience. 6 down against Monaghan. What did they show? Balls and resilience. 10 down against Down, what did they show? Balls and resilience. And what they showed yesterday against a really good Donegal team that everybody was raving about and everybody thought that they would put it to Dublin.
Yes.
When you look at them yesterday, you know, we talk about Dublin, they're on a different level, but, you know, Cavan just showed super courage and resilience is the word I'd use about this Cavan team. And they'll carry big momentum in and it's probably an uphill battle now that they'll be facing, but they've been written off numerous times this year. They'll kind of like that. And look, it's a great day out, All-Ireland semi-final against the best team to ever do it. So huge chance for them to see where they are at on that level. Because that's what they'll be thinking out. They're Ulster champions. They've got a nice team. They might have a few big players in McVitie and guys to come back into it next year. There's real momentum in the county. And they'll be looking, okay, let's see how we do against these fellas and see where we can bring ourselves to. Huge for them.
A comment on YouTube from the Boar's Head. Well, lads, that's 40 Ulster titles for Cavan, says Hugh in the Boar's. Good morning to you, Hugh. And that's a long time waiting.
Oh, I was on to Hugh last night, I can tell you. And I talked to him numerous times about a lot of these young Cavan fellas when we were covering the Monaghan game. I spoke to him for a good while on the phone on the way up to that game, you know, and all these young fellas, the Madden and the Smiths that he was talking about, you know.
They're excited.
You see their county championship form that they showed. You see the young underage success that they've had over the last number of years. You're starting to see that come to fruition now. So, yeah, Cavan, I disagree with Sean Cavan. I think they were seventh last night in the Sunday game. I saw them in, I think that's way off. I saw them last year beat Monaghan, and they're certainly further down the line. I would have had them probably outside Donegal, outside Tyrone. I think they're better than Bone. I think they're better than Derry, better than Antrim.
Yeah.
They'd be far further up the list in my estimation.
I want to join the last two talking points this morning together because Dublin were absolutely phenomenal. Conor Callaghan's catch for the goal was like, okay, right. Wow, you can do that as well as like being a dominant inside forward. But John Connellan was former Westmeath footballer is watching this. Maybe he's a current Westmeath footballer. I didn't mean to retire in there. Was watching this and saying, and has penned an open letter, which has gone viral very quickly because I think it resonated with a lot of people, that Leinster football is essentially dead and the beast that is Dublin and the investment that came from Sean Kelly's committee has tipped the competitive imbalance too far to the point where nobody can compete with the Dubs anymore. Partly that's true. Partly this is an indictment of what's gone on in Meath and in Kildare in some respects, but equally the finances are hard to argue with. So can we talk about all these things together? Because I think that they're all part of it. Like certainly as a non-Dub watching that, but living in Leinster and supporting a Leinster team, it's like, what is the point of this anymore?
Look, you can't argue with a lot of stuff that's in John's letter. And I think the main thing is, look, Dublin are self-sufficient now. They don't need any more money. You know, they can the membership the clubs have, the amount of kids that are playing the game, you know, what this Dublin team, they've inspired a generation of youngsters around Dublin. You know, when I was starting out on my Kerry jersey, you'd be in Dublin and it'll be Arsenal, Liverpool, United jerseys everywhere. I'm driving through Dublin now on a constant basis with work and it's Dublin jerseys left, right and centre. The girls, the women's team have done the same for the young girls in the county. So they're self-sufficient. So I think John's major point in this is, look, just try and give people as much money as you can to the other counties to try and bring the standards, levels of coaching, probably investment into it up. And you can do all that. But look, I'm still slow to take away from this current bunch of players and how they've kind of amalgamated two real teams, because you can look at Man United, who have all the money in the world, who have all the recruits in the world, who have all the investment in the world, and they can't get it right. They can't do it. They can't win games. They can't win like they used to win, we'll say. So, you know, money is a factor, but I'm not putting what this great Dublin team have done down to money in my eyes. I think it's unjust to the level of talent that they've produced player wise. And yes, maybe that task force that Sean Kelly has put together in 2003. And I only really got into that yesterday. I'd say Sean might be ducking. There might be a few snipers out from in Kerry with this task force that he put together for the Dubs. I'm sure there's a lot of people who would have said, Jesus, Sean, you should have stayed quiet. And he did a lot of great things in his presidency. I don't know about that one. But no, look, I really do. I really would warn against taking away the credit from this bunch of players. I always say it, they're a generational bunch. You can put as much money into someone as you want. You can't make them play like they do under pressure, have that level of skill that them players have worked on since they're young kids. You know, absolutely their coaching and, you know, just an example of where they are probably versus most other teams. I came down the back of the tunnel in O'Moore Park when they were playing Westmeath, we were covering it for Sky, and came down the back steps just after half time, after we'd finished our piece and there was ads in the second half of starting. And I said I'd run down to the toilet. And I passed five guys on laptops with their back to the game underneath the stand in O'Moore Park, looking out into the car park, all headphones on, all heads down. I don't know what they're doing or what their role is. I'm sure it's statistical, maybe. I'm sure it's GPS, possibly. But I just don't see that within either county. We were there about 5 hours beforehand. The stewards had said there was people sent down to check the height of the crossbar for Stephen Cluxton. Check the goal mouth area. How level was it? How flat was it? They're gone to the next level with that. But I still slow Jar to take away from these players. And I know they have an advantage. They've advantages. They're playing at home all the time. They're playing in their own stadium in Croke Park all the time. They obviously have financial backing now. And I think that's where people are starting to look at it. And that's probably where John's letter is coming from it. The amount they get in GEA grants, the amount they get in sports capital grants. And I think what the point is from him is can we start spreading the wealth that Dublin are self-sufficient now? And I think that is correct. And Dublin will acknowledge that themselves. But this, I'm not saying, and I will not say ever, that this Dublin team and the successful road that they've been on is down to anything else like generational players they've had. If you go through the originals, the Stephen Cluxtons, the James McCarthy's, the Bernard Brogans, the Paul Flynn's, the Brian Cullens, the Kevin McManamans, the Keno Sullivans, the Michael Darren McCauley's, the Dean Rocks, you add in a beautiful blend in of guys that came in kind of around 15. Kilkenny came back from Australia. Con Callaghan came in. Brian Fenton came in. You know, a checkbook Howard. Hasn't made them what they are. And I want to be really clear with that. But I think John is right also on what he's saying. And he shows huge admiration in that letter for Dublin. But I think his point is now Dublin are self-sufficient. The rest of Leinster badly needs help. And it's not just the rest of Leinster, Ger, it's the rest of Ireland.
It is.
You know, people are talking about all the Leinster championships in trouble. Dublin are going for 6 in a row and probably will get 6 in a row. So, like, we're talking about 10 in a row in Leinster, like, it's a huge, big deal. This crowd are about to go 6 in a row all over Ireland, which has never been done by any team in the Associate. Maybe there's been ladies' teams that have done it, actually. But
Cork,
like, yeah,
Cork footballers, that's, yeah. But Kerry footballers, yeah, I think, yeah, as well. Yeah.
Yeah,
the 100%. Yeah, look, I get your point. I think there's definitely, we've started a conversation today. We can continue that because there's a couple of weeks where we get to luxuriate in the quality of the football, but also the debate that has been opened up by John Connellan as well.
I think it is a debate that's probably opened up and it will get people talking. But it's just a perfect storm right now with Dublin, Ger, with their sponsorship, their investment, their county board, how good they are, their media team, and how good they are. You know, the way this team is planting seeds in every youngster around Dublin. That's what he means by self-sufficient, and I think he wants a fair crack by other counties getting some support financially to try and bridge the gap. It's not going to close it. It's not going to do anything magical, but I just think it is. He's looking for more help for the rest of the counties.
Fair enough. Kieran, good stuff. Thanks a million for joining us this morning. Cheers.
All right, boys. Good morning. I'll talk to you later.
OTB AM
with Gillette, proud supporters of Movember. Gentlemen, let's mow.
Let's turn to hurling, and I'm delighted to say Cyril Farrell is with us. Cyril, good morning to you. How are you getting on?
Good morning. No, nice, bright morning down here in the West.
The whole country is agog with the football yesterday, but I think hurling people were very disappointed when we learned that Tony Kelly wasn't going to be the full Tony Kelly because of the injury that he suffered in the warm-up afterwards. Lowen said he went over on his ankle, and that really robbed the game of its drama, I suspect, really. Clare did well to stay in it, but ultimately there was really only one winner from about 25 minutes into that game.
Yeah, well, like, Wolves started very, very well, and as is referred there to Tony Kelly, who was up the championship this year, has been brilliant in all the games. Like, and he was, even though he played on, like, knowing him, the character of the man, like, but he wasn't the same Tony Kelly. And, you know, the Watford would be out to mark him, man, but after saying that, like, he still played well enough, but not, he hadn't the same influence on the game at all, and he was a terrible loss, Clare, there's no doubt about that. And they still scored a lot, like, Clare wound up scoring 3-18, but the game, like, was gone from a long way out from Clare.
So this Waterford side have obviously managed to get back to something like the level they were at when they reached an All-Ireland final a couple of years ago. What is actually behind that, Cyril? Were those players just a little bit lost in the post-Eric McGrath era, and they've gone back to basics, they've gone back to exactly what it was? Like, how is Jamie Barron back to being the free-running, all-conquering midfielder? What's changed?
Yeah, well, I'd say really, like, you see, you know, like, Derek McGrath would have them kind of very straight lines, you know, in a tight formation. Now, Liam Cahill would too, but it's different. It's more fluent. They're allowed to attack. They're playing off the cuff. If you just look at the two Bennett brothers, for example, you know, Stephen Bennett and Kieran Bennett, like, they're walking through tacklers. They're playing like men possessed. You have Prunty full-back, Tyler Burke a centre-back. Now, these were always there, and they are good hurlers, but they seem to be really kind of revitalised. And definitely, they're going for more score. Like, their scores are very big. Now, okay, what they're letting in is big as well, but like to get 3 goals, like, you know, goals kind of win matches. They're knocking over 25 points or 22 points every day, like 327 the last day. So they're playing the combination game, but they're also playing the long game. And I suppose you'd have to say Hutchinson inside is giving them that extra threat. Now, they still only play 2 men inside, you know, like the likes of Kieran Bidders, even though he's picked centre forward, he goes back, he's kind of tracking back midfield, you know, and Gleeson's coming out centre forward. But they still have the formation, but they're very, very good at it, and they are very good hurlers. And like the likes of Colm Lyons, these lads, and Prunty fullback, these lads have kind of stepped up and are taking the mantle over. Then you have the older guys, say, like, when I say older, more mature days, like you look at Kevin Borden, last in there to take it in, and as you referred there, like Jamie Barron. He's like a pocket rocket. He's back to himself again. So, like, they are a very, very good team and play very flashy hurling. And there's no way they'll fear Kilkenny. Okay, they don't want to let in as much, right? But it's going to be a lot closer game. It's not going to be kind of a walkaway for Kilkenny in that semi-final by any manner of means.
Yeah, in a weird way, I wonder how well Kilkenny feel they match up to them. And Kilkenny are kind of going to be quite strong favourites for it, more than likely. But actually, it has the bang of a 50-50 game off it.
Yeah, well, actually, you know, Brian Cody, like, it doesn't matter what 15 he has or even what he's missing. If he is the so-called All-Stars missing, he'll never refer to those that are missing. He's always going to say, I have 15 Kilkenny men with jerseys, Kilkenny jerseys on, and they're good enough. That's his mantra. Like, you know, like the last day, Paddy Deegan was absent through COVID, and he never mentioned his name, and that was all over. Now, he'd be on most Kilkenny team sheets. You know, there wasn't a word about him. That's the way he operates. Kilkenny, you know what you're going to get from Kilkenny. They play very hard and very, very fair. They'll set up like their own way, 6-2-6, shall we say, and they are playing through the lines, like, but like they'll play it whatever you like. But definitely Waterford around the middle third, like, they swamp the middle third, they walk the ball out, you know, and it looks lovely when it walks, and they are very good at kind of popping the ball off the shoulder, and they're working that rotation policy. And like, you'd have to see up front that they have more, you know, that they're working very hard and they're scoring a bit, and definitely Hutchinson gives them that kind of the goal threat, even though to me, like, Bennett has been unbelievable this year. Like, you know, every game I see him playing, even on the free take, and everyone's saying that Mahoney be terrible loss, which he is, but like, just show you, like, Stephen Bennett has stepped up, and to me, like, he's been early man in the match for Waterford for every game he's playing.
That win over Kilkenny was a significant step for Waterford in 2017, the year they got to the All-Ireland final. How much from that year, Cyril, can you actually read into this year? Because if you talk about the golden generations that have come through in Munster counties over the last decade, I guess we were as glowing about Waterford as you would have been about Limerick in recent years. This was a gilded crop, and they seem to have lost their way in recent years. That 2017 summer, can they re-find that this year?
I'd say that's what they're hoping to do. Like, there's no doubt about it. They're reinvigorated, and like that crop has been a great crop of hurlers, and they won a great, say, minor under 21 championship with top class hurling and top class playing. And when you would like to say Curran and these fellas, they've been popped on the subs and kind of natural hurlers to tap it over the bar. These are good hurlers, like, and they're fluent, like, you know. So like, they'll go in with no fears. Like, they're like Liam Cahill is after having, no matter what happens, he's after having a great year. His first year in, he's after, like, very successful in Tip at under 87. So he'd be very confident in himself, you know, like himself and Mickey Bevan. So, like, you know, they're on a winner already. But, like, to beat Kilkenny, you know, you have to have the final whistle gone and be going out of the stadium, because they're very, very hard to beat. To get the killer goals, like, they're capable of doing that. And I definitely, Liam Cahill will be worried about what they're conceding, because even though they won a good game against Clare the last year, Clare still scored 3-18. That scoreline would win a lot of matches.
On the Galway Tip game then, Cyril, I guess there was a lot of talk before the season began about whether or not Tipperary can finally go back-to-back. It's something that they've struggled to do for 50 years at this point. You can put it down to a red card that perhaps a lot of people will have some debate about, or you can put it down to perhaps Tipperary not being quite at it this year. What's your view on why things went wrong for them on Saturday?
Well, there's no doubt about it. The sending off was a big break in the game for Galway. Like, you know, you see Carl Barrett, okay, the second yellow, he was going to get it, but the first one, very, very dubious. No matter how you look at it, it's very hard to see what happened. Like, the TV cameras don't seem to catch it at all. It's the first yellow that caused the problem. No doubt about it. It had a big bearing on the game. But, like, these things happen, you know, like last year, like Richie Hogan was sent off. Like, so if you're on a yellow, you have to be very, very careful. The big thing for Galway last weekend was that they came from behind, because you had people questioning, like, could Galway, like, with the kind of, they have leads and they get caught or barely hold on. No, the last day they went in four down at half time, actually went behind 6 early in the second half. And like the big thing down in Galway here is that the feeling was like it was great to come from behind. And even though they were beat by Kilkenny and very hard to get caught in the Leinster finals, they still did a lot right in that game. They played good hurling. Like, there wasn't, you know, the supporters down here were still very confident that if they could produce their game. The Galway Tip games are always very, very tight. This time it was 2 points rather than a point. You can't get much closer than that. Like, and anything could have happened in the ebb and flow. Like, there was no one fully on top in the game. Everyone was getting their few minutes on top, and everyone was scoring in that few minutes. Again, the scores, like, you know, big scores, like Tipperary scored was around 224. They'd win most matches. So, like, Galway will be looking at that individual. They have a big mountain to climb next weekend.
Cyril, a lot was made of where the referee was from. Surely that doesn't really matter, does it?
I know, listen, like, okay, maybe he's from Limerick and, you know, like, Limerick are still in the championship and Galway had two Limerick men over the team. Like, that shouldn't matter, like, because these guys are going out to do a good job. And Johnny Murphy, like, he still did a good job. Okay, they'll be looking at the red card. That's the ebb and flow. Like, anyone involved in teams until you're over manager, over a few years, that's they're the break. You get some and you lose some and you get the break. So there's very, very small margins. There's no doubt about that. Like the first goal that Galway got, a great goal by Cahill Manning. Like, you know, the ball was locked down and it broke and, you know, he got a pass. But, like, if the ball was hit perfectly, it doesn't got down, it's been over the bar maybe. Like, they're the small breaks. Like, it's just, you know, it's a little thing. Galway goalie, they have a new goalie this year, Aidan Murphy, top test goalie. It will be like, there's a big experience. Blocked a great shot, ball broke out, Shane Cooney got on the ball, kind of diddled on it for a little minute, last, next thing just the back of the net. That's hurling, like, and that's, if people, like, mightn't realise, you know, 5 or 6 points in hurling of a lead isn't as much as it is in football, if you know what I mean. It's harder to get in football. In hurling, the 6 points can go in one, two shots, it can be all over, like, or you get momentum. So, like, even going back to the Waterford game, Hutchinson save from, you know, that was a great save, broke out the field, and instead of winning the back of the net for clear, went up the pitch, and Waterford got a great point. And, you know, like, it had been 7-up rather than 2-up. So they're the tournament. There's small margins in the games, and the games, like, have been brilliant in the sense that the scoring has been unreal, and it's, you'd be on your toes the whole time.
Yeah, it seems a bit unfair to single the referee out for where he's from, whether or not the yellow card, the original yellow card, like, that's not because he wants a better game for Limerick in the semi-final or in the final,
no,
or that kind
no,
of stuff.
No. Just that maybe the GA and their wisdom maybe shouldn't have applied, like, being a Limerick man, but no referee goes out to do that, and we'd all be giving up to them and shouting, look, it's a thankless job, and you'd have to say he did a good job. Like, there was no, look, it was a very clean game. There was no, like, there was plenty of hard knocks, but that's part of the game. But he wasn't for anyone. I'd say if you counted the free counting much the same, or, you know, that's the usual thing, or the wide much the same. You get your breaks, you have to take that, like, you know. And so, like, you know, Galway got one, there's no doubt about that. Like Cahill-Barrick going off was a big loss. But, like, the momentum came in, and it can be hard enough to use the extra man, but they did as well in the end. But, yes, in the end, like, you know, Tip were attacking, and they did move out Jamie Cannon to try to get a break in the second half, and as the game went on the second half. They couldn't win the ball in the half hour. And, but for everything, now Jamie, that's fine. But you see, Dahi Burke came out as well, and he'd be quite comfortable out there, and he thundered into them more further out of the game again. He was thundering up the field as well, like, you know. So, you know, like, they were robbing Peter to pay Paul, but that can happen. They were trying everything. Galway did as well. Like, they made a great use. The subs, like, definitely all walked in the suits. They were very fresh and kind of got flew around the pitch. Like, sometimes that works for you, sometimes it doesn't. So, you expect to draw on board over the next day.
Well, what's the expectancy levels like in Galway at this point, Cyril? Is it Liam McCarthy, or else it's a failure, or is there a sense that actually this year could be a stepping stone?
Oh, well, like, everyone is very happy. Like, look, it's been a very unusual year in Thursday. The lead were just starting to come right, and there's new management in it. Everyone seems to be quite happy with them. The players are playing, you know, they have settled down, playing well, and everyone is happy. Okay, they'd be disappointed to lose that Leinster final, but they still played very well. And, like, they've had a good year, and, look, they'd love to get back in. They would love to get back into Ireland the final again, because this team is quite good. Without, like, they are improving the whole time now, whether the 3 weeks in a row catches them out or not. And you know yourself, everyone wants to win, and you forget about the big good, the days you win. When you lose, that's the way it is. And you look at Cork yesterday, beaten by Tip in a right good game in football, and sure, their victory over Kerry is put back into the back. You forget about it. That's life. The only thing is this year, the All-Ireland to be over very early, in the sense that the new one is going to start early, so it's a short reign no matter who wins the All-Ireland. It's been unusual, but you'd have to say, to be fair to the players and managers of the teams, it's great entertainment, and it's keeping us going in these dark days.
100%. Cyril, great to have you with us this morning. Thanks a million.
Okay, God bless.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.